Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Now, there's not much to say about this next movie, except for... we saw Mortal Kombat, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Oh, boy, fine, I guess. Just watch this movie.
And June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm good. How are you, Paul?
Very good. We have a very special guest today. Please welcome Cameron Esposito. How are you, Cameron?
Oh, I'm feeling great. I mean, this movie's like in my wheelhouse, so I'm thanks very for excited. Choosing this one for me.
June, do you want to reveal to the audience what you just said as we were putting the mics on? And I said, I feel like, let's try and recreate it. I said,
well, maybe we could do this. We could actually just play, because we did roll it. Let's just drop it in.
I didn't play this game.
I never played it either. But I did do the research to try
good
and figure
you
out.
Know what?
Just
well
be
done.
Like, you know what? Is this a thing in the, you know, so it's pretty cross-referenced.
I didn't know there was a game.
Okay, so there it was.
And what we just realized is that June went through this whole movie not realizing it was based on a video game.
Well, to be fair, I did write down at one point, this sounds like a video game.
Sounds like
noises, the sound.
Oh, some of it actually is. When Reptile comes in, that's actually from the game.
Okay, because so, it does sound like...
You nailed it.
It does sound like the score of a video game, like even what you just played.
No, but well, the yeah. thing
did,
is, that
it did
song...
sound familiar, Mortal Kombat, those words together
yeah,
sounded
Yeah, they
familiar.
Sounded like something.
But you just remembered them from Fighting to the Death, right?
No,
just
I don't
right
know
from my own
the general
experience of Fighting to the Death.
I did know that's a familiar phrase or saying. I just didn't know.
I'm laughing because
I didn't know where it was from.
Wait, you didn't know? But in your mind, Mortal Kombat, you just thought, well, this is a very large cast of characters, and it seems to be nothing but mano a mano fight sequences.
I have a lot. I sat down and said, guys, I don't even know what to say about this movie.
You
I,
stormed out of our was, living room 3 times going, this movie irritates me. And you walked out.
I had a very bad reaction to it. I didn't know what it was.
Well,
what
we
it
get
made.
It. You sure. guys have a living room.
Now, I will say, we wanted to say this. Like, I know a lot of people out there will be upset. Like, well, come on. Well, you don't know the game and the game. And I played this game. Not so much that I would know all these details, but enough that I understand it. But screw you guys who are going to be upset about this. It's a movie. It's a movie.
If
we're judging
and
it from
here's
that.
And here's the thing. If you have particular fondness for this movie because it pushes a button of love for you if playing this game. I need you to understand that this movie is very bad. This yeah. movie is
and if
like
you love this game, you should actually kind of hate this movie because yes. see, now I never played this game either,
but
I
did know was a
did
game.
Live in the world okay. at the time. Okay.
and that's fair.
I mean, this is at like every roller skating rink growing up.
I was going to say it's like a big arcade game.
They were words that sounded familiar.
It was like Duck Hunt, and then like that Rampage game where you turn into a bigger ape. You know, if something happens,
that was a good one.
That.
I like that.
But yeah. Tron.
Here's what I'm realizing.
I mean, to bring this back to June, one of her most famous quotes. You don't really even understand Street Fighter, and you didn't understand that was a game.
I didn't know that was a game. Now, my relationship to video games growing up
What do you know about video games?
My next-door neighbor had Nintendo, and the games I played were the game where you had to cross the street in a little... The frog crossed the street.
Wait, Frogger? That's not a Nintendo game.
Why did you let her off the hook way too fast? That's the game. Was it an Atari?
It was an Atari. It was not a Nintendo. Okay, so
I want to go back to what you described. A frog? It was in a cart?
Did you think when you were playing that the frog was also in a cart, just going perpendicular to traffic?
I knew there were frogs in carts. I couldn't remember exactly how they related.
So you played Frogger, and what was the other game?
That was one of the best games on Nintendo. Also, that Sonic the Hedgehog game was pretty good.
I didn't play that.
No,
I didn't play that. I've heard of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, you have?
I played Frogger. I've played Oregon Trail. I've played,
That's not a Nintendo game.
Okay, no, that's on the computer.
I played Solitaire.
Those are the two games that I have played, and Mario Brothers. I have played those games. Okay. When I went to an arcade or, you know, some sort of event with roller skates, whatever, I would see the video games. I wouldn't even go near them.
Really?
Why?
I wasn't interested.
This is why you get so angry when you see like things like Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto, because you've gone from Oregon Trail to Grand Theft Auto 5.
That's a part of life like I never had any interest in.
I spent days, weeks worth of my life like getting quarters and playing video games in an arcade.
So
when I grew up, you could go to Paladin, an arcade in my area, with your report card, and they would give you $1 worth of tokens for every A you got.
Ugh.
Wow. That's kind of great.
Yeah.
I played pinball machines.
Uh-huh. Wait, you want, like, what do you want? You want a cookie
just
for that?
To think of other things that are
like when you were at the pizza place waiting.
Yeah. Yes, skee ball.
Okay, so you're into like old timey fare.
Yes,
like you played one of those those video games where you put the coin in and you spin the dial and you see a moving picture. Like that's a video game that you like.
Or like you put a quarter in and just like a monkey dances. Yeah.
I'm 72 years old.
So I don't get the with your newfangled games.
These words sounded familiar to me, Mortal Kombat, but I didn't know where it came, what the source material was.
The reason I said that about the video game fans being mad is because the whole thing with that game was that it was super violent. It was like the first mega violent game, and they had the spine rip. There's a spine rip move in there. And
yeah, you could rip out a head and the spine would be dangling.
I think actually that game is the reason that games have ratings.
I think you are right. And this movie was originally to be an R-rated movie, so they could embrace the one thing that is defining about it,
really?
Which is the
that you kill,
supreme
so, yeah,
violence
yeah.
of the game.
So the basic premise of the movie, where mortals are fighting creatures who have magical powers.
I would say that this is
the
part
basic
of,
premise of the
I
game,
I would say
too.
That this is part of the movie that I'm a little bit unsure of. As a game player, I felt like there was a tournament, but it seemed like there were certain people who were not... The tournament didn't seem like the rankings. I couldn't follow a ranking system. I was like, oh, now they're out, but
it
did they win?
Like
did they move on?
Good guys versus bad guys.
But yet they were all there.
Couldn't tell who... Like, why were the people who were brought arbitrarily good guys or bad guys?
Right.
And I'm assuming then that some of the good guys killed other good guys, I think, in the beginning rounds.
Well, like to me, it's like I feel like this movie was missing that chart that they had in The Karate Kid, where they kind of just moved up the name LaRusso, so you got to see what was happening. Here, there was no ranking
system. Like a round robin, or like a bracket sort of a,
because
of a tournament thing.
At one point, the Sang-sum, the bad guy, he was like,
the guy from Iron Chef?
Yeah.
But did anybody else think that he was just like the host of Iron Chef? Like that guy, they both overact so much in the most hilarious way. Every time he would get up and make those big declarations is like at the beginning of Iron Chef where the guy tells everybody what the secret ingredient is. Not America, because that's the guy's nephew. But the original Iron Chef where the guy was like, had such dramatic flair. This guy was that guy.
Hey, well, this guy was amazing because also when he said something in the movie, like he would do this, he'd be like, well, now if you win this match,
yeah,
I can either challenge you or I can challenge yeah. someone else. Like, well, that's not a good effective tournament. Oh, yeah. Like what? That doesn't mean anything.
Everybody and just gets to make shit up.
I think yeah. the mortal part also really comes into play because there's a couple times when the person does not die and then yeah. the Sang-sung just comes in.
And sucks their soul out.
And is like, well, I'll go ahead and clear this yeah. up.
Basically,
won
like,
this.
He always right. is winning because Sang-sung is like, he basically is, if I'm mispronouncing it, I'm sorry, but like, he just... So he gets all the souls regardless. No matter who wins in these
well,
fights,
he collecting
also...
souls? What I couldn't understand was he collecting souls in order that he, in order to make himself unbeatable so that if it got down to it and he needed to fight to win
which,
the 10th victory,
clearly
which does
happened,
happen,
it, yeah.
he has at his disposal all of this sorcery. He can recall the souls that he's stolen to fight on his behalf.
I want to talk
about this stuff.
No, I know we don't normally jump ahead, okay. But at the end when he does have to call up all the souls. I do love that they all kind of pop out of the ground like through little circles like a Britney Spears concert. Yeah. They all are shooting up from, this, yep. from beneath the stage. And I was like, I wish I was on set for that day when these big muscle-bound men were forced to yep. be shot through holes. Like, it did not go
that
well.
That was the best part of last year's Super Bowl is when Beyonce yes. was joined and it was exactly like that moment for that... me. We're like, I can't believe Destiny's Child is here! Back from the dead!
And there's a little bit of a stutter step because you're being rocketed into yeah. the air. And well, worse, they are being shot through like fake brick.
Yes.
But here's what I don't understand. So when he would take, I don't know any of these characters' names.
Okay,
I couldn't understand.
It was harder too because they didn't say them ever. Just kidding. Everybody called everybody by their first and last name in every okay. occurrence.
When Lord Raiden came on, they said Lord Raiden about a million. If you did a drinking game, every time they said the name Raiden.
Any of them to memory. But so when that guy was stealing, was taking souls.
Yes.
Were those people then dead to never be heard from again?
Yes.
Or did they then become his? Because what I thought was happening, I'm sure this is all in the video game again.
Well,
but
no, we got to treat this like a movie. We're treating it like a movie.
Was that those people were becoming his, like, sort of slave army that was there?
But that was unclear, too.
I don't think so.
It's pretty confusing.
Because Sub-Zero and Scorpion
they
were under
pretty
his
soulless.
Spell.
Yeah.
You mean the guys that ripped their faces off to reveal skeleton heads
yes.
full of bugs and worms?
Yes.
Those guys.
Yeah, they also...
Oh, cool, got it.
Yeah, those guys who were from Halloween 3 who also yes. had faces of bugs and worms.
A real potent image, I guess, is like a head that opens and erupts into bugs and worms.
I always upsetting. Think about like who is the bug handler that's like, gotta yeah. get on set,
I
like
could
5 o'clock that making, morning
go,
and just
ready.
Like be like, hey, the roach is on top of the worm, but for continuity, we need worm on roach, but, so if you could just get in here.
And then you need somebody in the skull, though, going like, they need some sort
push
of...
Push more through.
We gotta get
push
him out, we gotta money. Like, he's like just
yeah, it's
shoving
like that, it's like that Play-Doh spaghetti thing, you know, where you
exactly
like shoot the
like.
Play-Doh out. I
do think, and I'm willing to say this now, that we should have an episode where we interview a Hollywood bug man.
If you are honestly, a Hollywood bug man,
I've
please.
Met a few animal wranglers. I can't believe I'm going to go on record and say this, but they're a strange...
Well, there
are.
No.
I'm sorry. You can't believe you're going to go on record as saying Hollywood
sure
animal wranglers
people,
are strange people.
They are. It's a certain personality that.
I'm going to say 90% of the time they are not animal trainers. They are animal owners
yes.
That just happen to like want them. They're like we had a snake trainer in the league, and they're like, oh, you can't train a snake.
No.
They're training
just
a snake was
one.
Hitting it with a stick, and the snake was like vomiting and shitting all over the floor.
Yes.
Like it was.
I was on a Marin episode where they had a cat wrangler, and allow me to throw something
please.
Out there. She had a belt on, and on part of the utility belt was just a little, like a tiny Pringles can sort of a thing, and it was rewrapped in brown paper, and it said on it, like, liver snaps. And so she not only put it onto a belt, but she also labeled it.
Oh, she's like a Batman. She's a Batman ring.
She's a cat man. Cat
woman.
She had a cat
little liver snap area that was labeled. That's how I knew it was
well,
in
well, she didn't want to be reaching for liver. never snaps when she was reaching for something else.
Oh, yeah.
She's got to get
in
the...
confusing.
Yeah. That's... yeah, no, but to be fair, if you handle bugs for a living and you're a fan of the show and want to come on and tell us what's up with that, please... What is up with
come on. Please. We will talk
to
you.
We want to know.
I will also talk about this movie came out in 1995, and it was at the beginning of CGI, which is amazing because it's before people have, like, learned how to cue, like... react to it appropriately, because CGI in this movie, like, the way they're reacting is not mimicking what is actually happening. It's right. Sort of like, if something is, like, flying by their face, it's like, whoa! Oh! Like, their reactions are so big.
Yes. And it's so cool to see, well, I love like, effects stuff, sure. And what I love about this is Goro's character.
Oh, yeah.
Is
clearly, who's Goro?
He's the guy
forearms?
Who has many
forearms.
Yeah.
Forearms.
Old forearms.
Yeah. I called him in my notes.
I call him old forearms. And they clearly use, like, because it's just the beginning of CGI, they clearly use a bunch of different methods to make him. Like, there's some shots where it's just like an arm in front of the camera being like, hey, can you just get that arm over here? And then, like, there's other shots where it's clearly a guy standing on, like, another guy's shoulders. And there's just so many composites. There's, like, I think there's maybe even claymation in
there's
this.
There's definitely, yeah, Ray Harryhausen was definitely puppets. Involved.
Oh, so the miniatures in this are amazing.
There's a ton of different, and I love that from this time period. It's like very, it's Terminator 2 did it the best, but this is like
it feels
this
more
time period where they're trying to smash a couple things together.
It's like right where Clash of the Titans meets Terminator 2. It's sort of like they just don't know which side to go on. But I want to talk about Goro, the forearm guy. You're led to believe that this is a character. I know we're going out of order, but
is he in the video
is
game?
There an order? It's
yeah.
just
yeah, is there
it's
an
a
order?
Series
yeah.
of fights. Yeah. If I hear that
There's
song
no narrative,
one more time, I will put a bullet in my head. That was this
the
plays
best song of
for
all time.
80% of the movie.
I wanted
is
it to
just
play
this.
For 90%.
This and like psh 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 ah psh 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 ah oh psh ooh ooh ah psh.
Get over here.
Finish fatality.
It was insanity. At a certain point, I was like, you can't just play this song and have fights and call it a movie.
I want more. I got excited in my house because I was like, yeah, like, because at least gave me some energy.
Can't believe I don't listen to that song when I'm at the gym.
I want every
moment.
Oh, I want it all the time. It's the best song of all time.
You are wrong. You guys are very, very wrong.
I think that they wrote that song ahead of time. The whoever put that, it's like somebody actually cool,
yeah, that's
Lords
a
of Acid or something.
Yeah, it is.
So that song is not in the video game.
The
that
film's,
is like their song, and then they put in the Mortal Kombat scream, like how when Bruce Springsteen
Mortal
did that,
Kombat.
That song that's in whatever the fuck that movie is with, what the fuck is that movie? Where Tom Cruise leaves the... And then Renee
Castaway.
Zellweger goes with... It doesn't matter. But they put the sound effect
Joe versus the volcano.
And like ruined... That's their
bosom
song.
Buddies.
And now forever for the rest of their lives. I couldn't stop thinking about like if you made that song and then now the only thing people remember is like they're going to scream that in your fucking face
oh my God.
For the rest of your life.
Well, here's one thing I will tell you. That album went platinum. The Mortal Kombat soundtrack went platinum in less than 2 weeks.
For sure it did.
Why?
Sure.
Because everyone loves it.
I'm buying it now.
I'm willing to say that song was terrible.
No, it was great.
It was exhausting is what it was.
All right, I want to talk... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask, as a fan of the video games, did you guys like the video game?
I love the video game.
I didn't play
it. You never
it.
Played
it? I love the video game because it was...
Was it satisfying to...
No, okay. Not at all. No,
it was
not
one of those
satisfying
games
as a narrative.
Like two people squared off. It's like a button smasher.
Yeah.
And you just do different combinations and it's like... Psh, psh, psh,
and
with
the characters,
I'm jumping,
like the
pow,
actor...
Pow, pow, pow.
Well, the cool thing about the video game, from my memory of it, was it was like... It was video. So like the characters were not like... Animated, they were like they
really?
they brought in like actors, and so they were real people, and that was like a cool thing. So the world looked very much like a video game, but the characters looked like real people.
What's the difference between this and Final Fantasy? Wasn't that the
Final
same
Fantasy
thing?
Is a whole different thing. Like Tekken,
what
is
was
more
the
akin
other two person
Street Fighter?
Oh, Street Fighter.
So
yeah,
Street Fighter,
so
Mortal
it.
Kombat
okay.
were like
so
this,
these
but
were
Fighter
the competing
part,
enemy games. Okay, got it.
Now, but
oh, so, everybody is flipping out right now.
Oh, they're
everybody's
mad.
Like, how the fuck do you not know what this
do
is?
Do some fucking research.
Okay.
Do some research.
Well, guys, talk to me when they make a game out of Pitfall. A movie.
Or
rather.
A movie about a frog in a car.
Oh,
I
for
would
June.
Watch that.
Or a Q-Bert movie.
Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes, my family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think it could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new cinnamon crunch now at a retailer near you, and learn more at cap'ncrunch.com.
Can I ask a quick question?
Oh, yeah.
What was Sonia? Was her name Sonia or Sasha? Sonia. What was their occupation in the real world?
Special forces.
Sonia is like a policeman. She's got the shotgun in the beginning, right?
It is confusing why their job description involves, because it feels like maybe they work for the government, but deep ops where you just run into space where you're just like, my job is to run at this ship.
I have the thing.
I don't have any connection to anybody else.
Wait, like, she never radios
anybody.
I have a real question.
Who is her boss?
But her boss, the guy that she's with, who doesn't get on the boat, when she runs towards the boat, he literally says it in this tone of voice, like, hey, Sonia, don't get on that boat.
Oh, well. There she goes.
Maybe he's the guy that has to go back to their boss. Just like, I don't know. She ran into some mist.
She got into a fog boat.
Did the other guy, sorry, don't know any of their names. Why did the other guy want to fight her so badly?
Who, Metal Face?
Not Metal Face. Oh, I don't know.
By the way, this is from the Mortal Kombat wiki. Sonia Blade is a female soldier who's a member of the Earth Realm's Special Forces Unit, known as the Outer World Investigation Agency, the OIA. and so she's sort of like she's like a DEA agent of the Outer World.
Like a Men in Black.
Yes.
Sort of a predictive of that.
Yes.
What?
Okay, that's really...
So, but when the other guy says, I don't want you to harm her, I just want you to humiliate her.
Oh, you mean...
What was that about?
The head bad guy.
The main bad guy.
Sang Sung.
Like like a rape setup going on there.
Really disturbing.
Pretty over the top.
Humiliation?
Well, they took her out of her short shorts, which she was fighting in her short shorts, and then they kind of dressed her in like a princess outfit for no real apparent
reason. Couldn't figure that out. But I was like, was he like softening her up so he could like... blast her? Like, what's the deal?
Did feel, no. Didn't it
feel something was very wrong about
sexy.
That?
Yeah.
Well, and
way.
Then the friends come and save her, and the guy who's been like flirting with her the whole time goes, "Nice chest." Nice chest?
No. He says nice dress.
Dress.
Oh, I thought he said nice chest.
Nice dress.
And I thought to myself, who on earth says chest? Who would be like, instead of saying like nice tits or whatever, who would be like, hey, nice chest?
I will say that this is my issue with her, that character. Everyone that was there was a fighter of some kind, right? And they were all really, but everyone was protecting her like, oh, let's not beat her up. The girl, yeah. Let's not touch the girl. But she was a fucking very good fighter.
Well, they brought her there because she was a good fighter.
I was happy she at least really got upsetting. Some punches in the face. Like, that's yes. Nice to see when there's a chicken. I do think, though, like, yeah, she is like did, the Angelina Jolie variety of
female Yeah, but
female
that's what
fighter.
I had a problem with because Rolfing. She was really, all of a sudden, she was like this woman in distress.
Whereas they she all had to been run such after. A bad Badass the it whole was, time. I agree.
And she was screaming and flailing about. Yeah. Like, it was very strange.
And by the way, if, you want to know who was up for this role originally? Sharon Stone.
Oh. And who was the woman that played it?
This is actually Pete Sampras's wife. Oh, her name is Bridget Wilson Sampras.
Yeah.
And Dina Meyer, also from Battlefield, was it called Starship Troopers? Those are the two that turned it down.
Do you guys recognize her from Billy Madison?
Yes,
she's
that's
like
what I remember.
She's like a hot chick in Billy Madison.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a formative person.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know? Like the hot Veronica, come on.
Yeah, she was by the way, she seems so humorless to me as a character. Like at one point they make a joke like about, I wrote it down, like she's always taking that Johnny Cage's jokes as being like,
serious.
Yeah,
she doesn't get humor.
Yeah, like,
like apparently her partner was killed by Kano. Right?
Yeah,
her partner's killed by Kano, and from that point forward, she only has like a bloodlust for revenge and cannot entertain jokes, cannot crack a smile. All she wants, she will shoot up a nightclub. She will do whatever it takes to kill Kano. And then she snaps his neck with her legs. And I was like, this is some cold ass shit right here.
I feel like it's maybe like an anti-feminist, like women that fight are not fun. Like they're not nice to you. They're not nice.
I agree.
And I felt like they shot that fight scene in... I mean, I did appreciate that she got punched in the face a few times.
Me
but
too.
Like,
thank God.
But what? They really did shoot it in, like, these weird close-ups that, like, you never really saw her.
No. And I slowed it down.
By the
way. I slowed it down because I wanted
Jason.
To see him
okay,
connect.
She did all of her own fights. All of her own stunts.
And that showed, though.
But how could you have slowed it down? Because the fight sequences in this film
were already so slow.
I disagree.
The most telegraphed punches.
It was that was so crazy to me because they would always slow it down. I was like, but you're not doing anything. Like when she flips over that guy, I was like, why are you slowing down this flip? It's not like she's moving so quickly.
Many people were able to duck. That was a big move get away from. Also,
and every punch is very easily blocked because it is set up and then very slowly executed.
Like the special kind of magical moves, they gave them like plenty of time to set up. Where it's like, I'm calling to the gods, an ice thing is forming in my hands. Like, stay
Let's
over
go.
There and look at it with your eyes.
Can I ask this? Why weren't any of the mortals? Like, why wasn't Johnny Cage or Liu Kang or Sonya or any of these people surprised when there was a four-armed man, when
that
people could summon
well, that was
when people
little.
Could summon electricity.
I mean, as far
they
as
didn't
we know,
flinch at all.
As far
the
as we know, they were not. This is not a world that they were accustomed to. Like Johnny Cage was not like, oh, I know that there's an other world.
Nope.
And by the way, it wasn't also made clear if the boat was in the air because there was so much fog, or if they were on the.
Do
water.
You know when he looks and the compass is going crazy or whatever? Do you think they were on the Lost Island?
I thought they were on the Lost Island. John Locke was one of the fighters.
How fucking awesome would it have been on Lost if they just walked by and like there was a Mortal Kombat happening in the background?
The others were just like all those other.
If like the man in black and Titus Welliver or Titus Welliver and the other guy there, when you flash back to them, they are just mortal combatants.
It was never a polar bear. It was Sub-Zero the entire time.
Yep.
Well, it did seem like even if they didn't know this world existed, they were very used to the idea of like magic and.
Well,
for some hours, and like that wasn't new information for anyone.
But I think it was new information.
I think it was supposed to be too. But it should have been.
They were so
such
jaded.
You could tell that they were surprised because of their sassy jokes. You know, like whenever Johnny Cage was like that's just how he interprets the world. He's just like, oh, this again. I got to carry my bags to the other world.
Johnny Cage,
that's his way of going through the
is
world.
My favorite character, and his love relationship with Sonya was not ever set up, right? I mean, like they had like a couple.
I think what they wanted was that like Sam and Diane type of, you know.
But then all of a sudden he's like, I'll never let you get out of my sight. And I was like, wait, what just did we miss? Like a fight?
I want to talk about
him. You belong to me now,
him
woman.
Throwing his autographed picture at the end of that fight. Now he
how
had
about
those
wearing
on
the
him?
Sunglasses to the other fight.
Those are five.
How about this was during a time though? I feel like in like the early 90s, there was this real sort of like a lot of actors in movies were portrayed as just the worst douchebags in the world. Like that was during that time where it was like if you were a movie star in a movie playing a movie star.
Yeah, you were
getting handled
a horrible person.
Yeah. We also need to go back to the fact that the whole reason he's there is because he like definitely reads tabloid articles about himself.
even when they're in like Chinese. Yeah.
Yes, the tabloid article. But he is his character's arc is that. The tabloids are saying that he is a fake karate fighter. Yeah. He's like, oh, I can't stand it. I'm a good karate fighter.
And that's why he goes.
Can I actually play this clip from the movie when his master comes to tell him to fight in this tournament? You'll get a sense of the movie here. Let's take a listen.
I see the press is still giving you a hard time. Yeah, they think I'm a fake. Johnny, you're one of the best martial artists in the world, and I can help you prove it.
Prove it? How?
Tournament, the tournament, is held once a generation. The best fighters in the world are invited. You win the tournament, you win their respect. They'll tell the entire world that you're the real goods.
That is the premise. Like that's pretty much.
I wish, though, at the end of the movie, we had seen, you know. Printing presses putting out some new articles. It really didn't seem like the word was going to get out.
Maybe in the sequel.
The sequel does pick up right after this movie. I want to just, before we get away from Johnny Cage, because there's something very important. Did you guys notice anything about that director that was directing the movie? Anything?
Oh, yes.
Who did it look like?
Oh, the director?
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg.
Right. Now, did you be very surprised to know that apparently Steven Spielberg is a big Mortal Kombat fan and was supposed to make an appearance as the director in the movie, but scheduling conflicts forced him to back out at the last minute.
Wow.
So he was lined up. Steven Spielberg could have
been in this movie. Unbelievable.
I wonder if he's bummed listening to this show right now. He listens, right?
Like, he listens all the time.
You know, I also think that somebody should tell Johnny Cage about PR. You know what I mean? Just like, let him clue him in. You know, like you can get people that because he's kind of going for this like kind of word of mouth element.
Yeah,
I feel like you know,
it's like invite some reporters on set and just have them watch you actually do it because he is actually.
Yeah, there's nothing about like it's very easy like to prove that you're not a fake.
Do an expo, do like a martial arts expo,
right?
Anything
show people that
really
not
anything,
a stunt person.
Almost anything.
That would be the only that would be the easiest to find.
Or to be honest. Enter a difficult to locate and or prove exists otherworld fighting competition that nobody is aware
no specific name.
Right. Yep.
In
the hopes that the people there will then spread the word.
Yeah, they're going to talk about it.
But for all intents and purposes, that is impossible
because
as everyone will be dead. except for the one winner in theory.
Right.
To be fair to this film.
It's a long lead.
We will say that the guy was a face shifter.
Oh yeah,
it was actually Shang Tsung who came there and pretended to be his old
man. He was tricking all of these people into coming to fight.
But still, the
by appealing
of why
to their
he
problems
went remains the same.
Well, look, if your sensei told you there is a thing, you might go. You may not ask him too many questions.
How come none of the guys from Cobra Kai were there?
They're not the best fighters.
Yeah, they're not.
You know, it's clear.
But again, does anyone? All right. So this is my question, and this is maybe infuriating people at home. Is there a reason I don't understand? Like my idea would be that there'd be somebody from every realm And then whoever won the tournament would then be the be able to take over all the realms.
You're now kind of describing the plot line of Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction's Iron Fist series, which is multiple realms, each have a fighter, and all those fighters have to fight each other.
Okay.
And they all have special powers about which pertain to each of their places of origin.
Got it.
Which is a kinda way like better Airbender. Version of this. Yes, kind of like Last Airbender, which was, again, one of the worst movies we've ever seen in our entire lives.
I think we could even take this one step back, though. Even the way that the people in this movie are delivering the word fighter makes that sound like it is a baby. Because they'd be like, he's a great fighter. In the movie, the fighter, that sounds like a tough thing to be.
Yeah.
In this movie, it sounds like a vague...
Description
of nothing.
Where are they fighting?
He's a fighter. He's going to fight.
And it's also such a weird assemblage of people, like an actor, I don't know what John...
Special ops person.
Yeah, what a Liu Kang. I don't really understand what he does besides tucking shirts into jeans.
Oh, my God. But we have yet to touch upon who I found to be the most bizarre person in this movie, which was Christopher Lambert.
Yes.
I mean, there's a fucking Highlander in this movie.
There's a Highlander.
And he, Lord Raiden. And he,
what's going on? Who is he?
Is he cross-eyed?
It would be hard to know if he's cross-eyed because you can't stop thinking about his accent.
His accent? I mean,
you can't focus on his face because you're trying to close your eyes to figure out where he's from.
I can't tell if he has an accent or talking baby talk the whole time.
Well,
it was a fascinating performance, though. Like, yes. I will give him this. I really could not take my eyes off of it.
Tell me more.
Every time he was on screen, because I really did have trouble paying attention to this movie. And I am a little lost on a lot of this because it really just didn't hold my attention. But when he came on screen, I was...
Well, he's always popping up. He's always popping into everybody's conversations. And then he's presenting stuff and he's like, you're finally learning. But he's never presenting any, like everyone, like, who is he setting
up? At a certain point, I was like, oh, he's going to train them. He doesn't train them. At a certain point, I was like, oh, he's going to be the Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, he's going to have to fight the big bad guy.
Nope.
Like Vader and Obi-Wan's fight and sacrifice himself. Nope. He, like, disappears for the
character in the video game.
Yes.
I'm assuming everybody is.
Yeah. What does he do in the video game?
Shoots those lasers.
I think the lasers
lightning.
Are his thing, or the lightning.
Oh, so he does fight.
Laser eyes.
Do you think any part of your fixation with him has to do with his unusual hairline?
It's very possible.
He has one of the more unusual hairlines in movie dumb. Like, it's kind of
a
Frankenstein's.
That was a wig, though.
Yeah, but like any movie you've ever... No, that's his natural...
But that's somebody's job to make a wig look good. I mean, you can't just chalk it up.
The look on June's face for the line, that was a wig, though, was
come on,
priceless.
Carl. That was a wig, though.
Sweetheart, that was a wig.
I don't really know what's going on with his hair, but I will say, I have seen the Highlander series.
Yes.
It's as confusing.
I agree with this.
Oh, should we do Highlander on this show?
I think we should definitely do Highlander on this
show. Should we just do every Christopher Lambert movie?
That should be our live show.
Also
theme.
Married to Diane Lane for a very long time.
I love Diane Lane.
Issue about him, too, is that it clearly Raiden, or at least when I played the game, was an Asian man, hence the rice paddy hat.
Yeah.
And I feel like anyone else wearing a rice paddy hat is offensive. I do feel like, I don't
and
feel like.
Also, the wig was like, it's definitely a wig.
Listen, that could be a wig or not. I mean, but like.
You think you could grow that length?
Yeah,
and
I think you grew that up.
Hair?
Uh-huh. No, not the thickness.
Welcome back to Wig Talk with June Diane Rayfield.
If you have done a wig for Christopher Lambert, we want to have you on the show.
You know what? If you're a working Hollywood wig artist and have worked with Nicolas Cage, Christopher Lambert, or
John Travolta,
but
please
I do see
call
what
us.
You're saying, which is that the wig is following and mimicking a hairline that's already there.
It's just pretty shocking.
Right.
It's pretty straight across in
stuff.
A way that hair, doesn't ever grow.
There is something amazing. I want to talk about, and this I think kind of sums up his character. So Raiden is this character who is, the mentor, the Mr. Miyagi of this, who gives no information. Mr. Miyagi, you can at least look back and go, oh, well, he, the wax on, wax off, taught him this. Everything that Christopher Lambert said doesn't make any sense. The best thing I think that sums up this whole character is at the very end of the movie, what he says to these characters that just had a battle to the death. Here, take a listen.
I've got to tell you something. You guys did great. right.
Bow to me.
What is it? The Emperor.
You weak, pathetic fools. I come for your souls.
I don't think so.
This is a big, violent action movie, and he just basically goes, you guys are so good. I'm so proud of you guys. Great job. Like, it's just like, it's such an unclimactic ending
it's
of
like
a movie.
It's like a ruffling of the hair, almost.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you buddies. And he gives him a little nudge.
He has the kind of opinion where he's kind of like, I always knew you could do it.
I don't want to.
But it's like, no, you've had nothing. He didn't really assemble these people. He has nothing to do with their success.
No.
He didn't train them, nor did he impart anything of particular value to them.
One of them. I thought he trained
Liu Kang.
Yeah, didn't he?
I couldn't really tell.
I mean, and by the way, that was how the movie was supposed to end, with him just going, I gotta tell you guys something. You did great. Credits. And then they added on a little bit more because I think it tested so poorly that they were like, whoa, that's you can't end.
Well, and all those children ran out.
Where were those children?
Was a school
let out on this crazy mysterious island in Bizarro Land? Like, I'm not quite sure if this island existed on Earth.
Maybe those were the kids who were going to spread the word about
maybe,
the actors.
Well, he's got that army on the islands, and they've got to fuck something. So there
that's
must
true.
Be concubines, and those girls get pregnant, and those kids no doubt become like
that's
the
true.
Next wave of like the slave army. It's like the army that Khaleesi hires.
So that's the baby,
so
the baby of the
right
Khaleesi.
Yeah.
You could cut a nipple.
I did like Princess Katana. Anyone?
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought it was pretty confusing.
Yes.
Well, yeah. That she fought. What's his name?
Liu Kang.
Little puff hair.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened. How was that? They fought for a second, but it was not
when she was
to the
telling
death.
Him. Wait, when she was telling
they
him
like
what
like
to do.
Well,
there's sometimes
what was going on there.
That's the other thing I have an issue with this movie. Sometimes they're tournament fights, and other times they're just fighting. And like it's like oh, like when that army attacks the three of them when they're kind of snooping around the mysterious mountain. Like that's not a fight that's on record. That's sort of like an extracurricular fight.
And why did they keep on saying that it was going to be? There were going to be terrible consequences if she got together with, what is it?
Didn't
name,
they
Kane?
Also say she was 10,000 years old?
Yeah, she's 10,000 years
great.
Old.
She looks great.
What?
Oh, she was looking great.
Her wig was great. You know what I mean? Like, she was great wig work.
Was it
no
a wig?
Way that she is 10,000 years old.
You don't know how supernatural powers affect. It could be the opposite way, you know?
Maybe.
Like Mork and Mindy, Jonathan Winters was a very, as a baby,
he's
but
a
he was
baby.
An old man.
Oh, that's interesting. R.I.P. Jonathan Winters.
R.I.P. can we talk about the set design a little bit too? All the sets look like
How about the crazy stairs that Johnny, what's his name, fights yellow guy on? Guy in yellow
I
suit.
I think this looks like a He-Man playset at your house that they were like, does anybody have anything they could bring in?
Yeah.
Our budget is low.
Well, it was like this is somebody who makes a home haunt. It's like it looks pretty good. It's like, we'll put some purple light here. Yep. You can't really tell that's a refrigerator.
The great eyeballs.
Yeah. Stuff that looks like cobwebs and a couple of fake skeletons.
The most upsetting thing was when that guy was eating the chicken wing.
The cyborg guy?
The turkey
you.
Leg, whatever the hell that was. It was
more.
Disgusting.
I hate miked food.
It
smell.
Was
I
disgusting.
That, I found that really it's sexy,
terrible.
Actually.
Ugh. And the amount the of food scene. On that table. And why was he by himself and not at the banquet?
Well, because that was a scene where they needed to send up all the exposition of the entire movie.
They said... Everything in that entire scene was crazy.
But also that banquet that he's having follows the banquet where they bring in a ton of food.
Yes.
Yeah. A ton of food.
Crabs.
Then they throw all the food on the ground.
Yep.
That's the beginning.
Why, that just seemed to be not right.
Well, that was like, they kind of like, welcome everybody. We're going to have this great tournament where we fight to the death. Yep. It wasn't the dessert. It was literally, they served it, flipped over every table, and then one fight happened where a guy just shot like an ice bolt at this guy, and that was it. And they're like, okay, and we're
and now
going.
Everybody
See
go
you later.
To bed.
Go to bed.
Everybody go to bed. It
I
was
grab
like
one
the
of those
worst first night at Hogwarts. You know, when all the food arrived.
I thought it was like an Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom thing you thought would be like.
Monkey skulls?
Monkey's a monkey.
I guess that's what they were trying to show, like the cruelty of them not even getting in the food. And then this guy, you know, having that entire...
Yeah,
table
well, that's
to himself.
What I really was trying so hard and oftentimes to tell like... Who are the bad guys exactly?
I don't know.
And what is their, like, Kano and Forearms would, to me, seem to be the henchman for the main bad guy. But okay. They were just meeting for the first time in that scene. So I was like, what the fuck is this? Who? Wow.
And this only, happens once a generation.
And was the 10,000-year-old woman like a bad guy who was helping the good guys?
I think that they were like, keep an eye on the 10,000-year-old bad woman because she's the only one who could possibly defeat me. So she was an ally. So they needed to use the clear CGI character, which was another amazing. Like,
oh,
we don't have enough money.
Crumb character. Oh,
they have this like little reptilian, like this little lizard, and that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie when the main bad guy goes up to like a lizard statue. Like, keep your eye on her and take a look at her. And you don't know what's going
then
on.
Then he fully exits frame so that the statue can come alive and be like a many toothed terrible monster.
And it is interesting. Just to go back to the Goro scene when he's like introduced and you see him for the first time and they're eating and he's not eating because like obviously he's got great abs, so he probably is really restrictive.
Totally. It's like just like a very high protein and he has to work out twice a day.
And like before 7, you know.
Yeah. I think absolutely. But then also whenever they do close-ups of his hands, what I love about his hands is that they look like the exact same gloves that like the Ninja Turtles made.
Totally.
Wore in that Ninja Turtles movie. Yeah. Like they're weirdly the exact same thing. I think they just sprayed them down.
Purple.
They were like, cut off one of those fingers because I think the Ninja Turtles have 4.
Amazing.
These guys have 3. Yep. This guy has 3. So, but otherwise, it was like a real recycled look that I appreciated. I wish I could have seen him actually hold a drumstick.
Sure. Also, when it's a man in the suit, he does this one move where he raises his arms above his head, and the two sets of arms are connected.
Yes.
So when he raises one set, the other set automatically goes.
It's very like cheap costume design. Like.
And so they repeatedly go back to him, and all he's doing is just raising his arms above his head. But like the second set of arms is like very meekly following the first.
Well,
it's amazing.
I gotta say, I didn't feel like they used and capitalized off of those 4 arms. I mean, there was that fight scene.
Okay, so he's built up as this big guy. The first
he's like the unbeatable guy. And, that they're like, oh, we're all going to get killed by 4 arms.
And so Johnny Cage immediately just punches him in the dick. And
is
then
he wearing sunglasses at that point?
The glasses
have been broken.
Oh, okay. At which point Christopher Lambert punches a guy in the arm and it goes, yes! And then he goes, I'm sorry about that.
And I felt like that was one of the biggest reveals of the movie was that Goro is anatomically correct.
But
because I was like, was
no
not
way.
But
here's my, I was like,
but,
no right. way this guy's got a dick.
But here's my issue.
I didn't think so, yeah.
He punches him in the dick and he goes down like, ooh! And then Goro is literally doubled over for, I would say, a good 15 to 20 seconds. Johnny Cage does nothing else.
No, Johnny Cage.
Like, the guy is bent over. He could just, like, bam, bam, bam. He runs upstairs and decides to create this other plan of, like, running off a cliff. But it's like, the guy is, he has the upper hand and does nothing.
You're absolutely right. It is a fight that is, there's so much buildup, I feel like, to Goro fighting any of our heroes, what we think of as our heroes.
Oh, there are heroes.
There are ours, I think. You know, I feel a certain ownership of them.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny, Liu Kang, Sonya.
Sonya, love
Princess
them all.
Katana, too.
Princess
Katana, too.
Princess Katana, too.
Even though she's ours.
I couldn't tell exactly if she's, but I felt like she was one of us. Anyway, so Johnny Cage is like, you know what? I'm going to fight Goro, and they're like, what? You're going to get killed? And he's like, I've got a plan. And his plan is punch him in the nuts and then lure him outside so you can throw him off a cliff. What?
And by the way, it didn't seem like he knew that cliff was there.
The fight is such a letdown.
By the way, when you have somebody that injured, just go to town.
Go to town.
But
maybe
it is
he was
nice
a fake.
To see the device of somebody falling off a cliff and then the shot from above, like, with the extra arms. You know,
love that.
When we've seen it before, like when the Beast fell off the tower in Beauty and the Beast, like he only has...
Spoilers.
Two arms.
Not
spoilers for Beauty and the Beast.
No, when Gaston falls off, he only has two arms because he's like a human person.
Four arms
is like this kind of extra thing. It's nice.
And I love that they had the little callback there because Johnny Cage, like, he's so upset with this movie that he's on because none of the extras are falling down at the right time.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he goes, now you fall. And then he gets to say it again to Goron.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Where do you think he put all of his luggage? Johnny Cage.
Well, that was a great runner.
Where did they stay? What were their barracks like?
He brought no less than 8 suitcases.
Louis Vuitton
square boxy suitcases.
It was like a Kate Winslet gets to the Titanic situation.
But that was the weird thing about that character. He alternated between being like, I am not just an actor, I'm a fighter. But yet he was like also like a diva-y actor at certain points too. Like, I couldn't quite get a handle on him.
And I thought that struggle within him was going, like, he was going to have to come to terms with that.
June, you brought me to one of my biggest points. This movie is all about inner demons versus outer demons.
Oh, shit.
But he never really wrestled with that. He was never confronted with, like, his own vanity versus his, you know, wanting to be the real thing.
Well, I think when the woman is wearing the dress, for some reason.
Yeah, again, June, there
was
that
I was a.
Was he?
Genuinely. Guess what?
We didn't make this movie. Stop yelling at us.
Sorry. Because that would be how his character would finally come to terms with.
Well,
his,
Christopher Lambert tells them all what is holding them back from achieving like true
greatness.
Excellence and being the best. And he goes one by one and is like, "You are afraid that the prophecy is true, Liu Kang. You are afraid that to be whatever." He says to Johnny. He says to each one of them, and you're like, "Oh, okay. I guess they're all going to have to individually conquer these weaknesses in order to be." Stronger. Nope, not really. Okay, wait, what? The movie's over? Okay,
really.
Great. I fucking hate this movie.
That just made me think, I didn't realize this watching it, but now that we're talking about it, that means that like he came back, so the whole reason he's there is so he can talk to people about the tournament.
Yeah.
Do you think he came back and he was like, you guys?
He would have seemed
there.
His acting career would have been
the
over.
Tournament
yeah.
in the underworld.
Forearms down the tube.
He calls his agent and he's like, get me an interview.
ASAP.
In the trade.
I took a fog boat with some new friends.
Yep. I fought a man with forearms who fell off a cliff in a magical city.
And a man with a rice paddy hat told me my destiny was here.
A woman was 10,000 years old.
I love thinking about those interviews and how well his career must have gone after. Like, well, I guess he proved it. Because before we didn't believe it, but well, now.
But it does prove that there were some people that seemed to be just there as spectators. Like, they're just like, they look like dads to me. Like, yeah. Dads in jeans are like around. They didn't seem like they were a fighter.
Hey, Mitch, you going to the Mortal Kombat fight this weekend?
Well, it happens once every generation. My fucking wife will let me out of the house for one weekend.
You gotta get out of the house. This is gonna be a pretty spectacular fight. Did you hear? Liu Kang is gonna be there.
Liu Kang?
Yep.
His brother just got killed,
Gary,
by the way.
Gary, Pete, Luke. We're all gonna go. We're all team Luke Kang.
Southwest going there?
Southwest does not, but Frontier does.
Oh, okay.
We got a real great gig on Frontier.
Fog plane?
Yep, it flies right into the fog, and you fly right out into the, Oceanic Flight 800.
I'll do it.
Oh, shit, I can't remember.
A-15,
thank you.
When Goro shows up to that fight, they pan across this audience that you're talking about, and there's just, most of them are wearing ninja outfits. There's one guy in a flannel.
That was it. That's what I saw.
Please rewind it. I rewound it twice.
I love that.
As a lesbian, I have to always be on the look for flannels. Where are they at? How they playing into this? So
you know what?
I feel like
I feel like they're like rolling. Oh shit! Sound Mikey? What are you doing? You know what? We're just gonna have to shoot him in there. He's like, "What? I was miking over here. Just stay where you are. You're gonna be in this shot." Like a guy, like a grip or something, was just added to the movie.
You got to watch the fight scenes because they're also in the front. They're like right on the stage. Now it's time for some facts that will, I think, blow your mind because they blew mine. What do you think the budget of this movie was?
$75 million.
Okay. 1995. Yeah,
95. $15 million.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say like 40.
Okay, $18 million.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, weekend gross, opening weekend, $23
million. Wow.
Worldwide gross, $122 million. Wow. This movie was a giant hit. It was number one at the box office. It was a huge, huge movie. Now, here are some facts that also will blow your mind. People who...
This movie is imaginary.
Did never happen. Tom Cruise and Johnny Depp were both considered for Johnny Cage.
Considered.
Well, Cameron Diaz was cast as Sonya Blade, but broke her wrist before the filming started.
Jesus, I can't believe that. You know, I would have, it's so nice whenever her name comes up because, you know, like, she is my namesake. Yeah. I mean, she's only like 2 or 3 years older than me, but my parents, you know, renamed me when they heard about her.
From The Mask?
When she was in 17 Magazine.
Oh, nice.
Well, that was her first modeling job. I remember seeing it in the credits in the back. I was like, rename me this, please, Mom and Dad. So, Cameron Diaz, I can't believe you're not in this movie. It would have been so great to see all that underwear dancing that she's known
for.
She has so many underwear.
So now Cameron Diaz breaks her wrist. So then they hire Miss Teen USA Kathleen McClellan. So they get her in the movie. She gets injured. And so then Bridget Wilson is the third person that they cast. Gregory McKinney replaced Steve James as Dax because he died. Okay. And then Brandon Lee was then cast as Johnny Cage. And then he died. John Claude Van Damme turned down Johnny Cage to do Street Fighter. And then...
I don't know. I would have liked him in this as well.
I would have liked him in this. Too. But here is the best fact of the whole movie. Now this goes back to what we talked about earlier. Apparently, get ready for this. The snake and insect action was monitored by the American Humane Association and commended the film for its responsible and sensitive treatment of even the smallest of Earth's creatures.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Movie got a special commendation.
The animals were treated well in a movie that was about senseless murder. Oh.
Wow. How do you treat a worm well?
I do not know.
It's like decent dirt.
That's you keep, keep birds away from
good
it.
Good question.
Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but
especially if it's an early morning shoot.
Yeah,
because those early birds, they really get those worms.
I've heard that.
And you can have no apples on set either. That's like
cocaine. How do you keep a bird away from a worm? Is it like a dick punch? Do you think you punch the bird in its bird dick?
You just slap.
Maybe. Although that I don't know how to immediately and rapidly tell the gender of a bird.
If you are a bird, if you are a bird dick puncher, we want you on the show.
If you know how to train birds, hopefully through abuse of their genitalia, to not go after worms, please give us a call. Once again, we're looking for you to clarify some things we have questions about.
All right, so obviously we have an opinion about this movie, but it's now time for a second opinion. Hit the theme song.
These are second opinions from top to bottom. Crazy movies are fun.
Okay, so these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. One of my favorite reviews of all time is coming up. It's a little bit long, but it's well worth it. Here we go. From Laura S. This is my childhood movie. They have some good fights and some really funny dialogue for understanding listeners.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. This movie made me interested in wisdom.
What?
Good looks.
What?
And martial arts.
Wow.
Wisdom. It made you interested in wisdom.
Just interested in it.
Just interested. Want to check out that wisdom that everyone's talking about.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to go to the library and I'm going to look up wisdom. Also, good looks.
Good looks.
Do you think they misspelled wizards? They were like, wizards?
Wizards? I would love that.
All right, now I'm going to read one other. All right, so this one is one of the best video game movies ever made. If you never saw this movie before and you watch it now in 2011, you probably won't like it with its thin, and you'll think it's cheesy. But if you remember how sweet this movie was when it came out, and you remember Scorpion shooting his grappling hook out of his hand and ripping off his face to reveal a skull that breathes fire, then this is for you.
Oh.
5 stars.
Oh, God, I hope this person's at a better place in life.
Now, here's another one. The acting, the story, the special effects, everything is just perfect. My favorite scene is when Sonya does battle against Kano, and we see how sexy she is with her nice breast.
What? No!
5 stars.
What? Wait, breast? Singular?
Singular.
You know, that scene did make
singular breast with her nice breast.
We can see how she is sexy with her nice breast.
I can't believe that's what they were. I mean, she's wearing black jean shorts. That's the
short
look.
Shorts, yeah.
That's the fucking look in that scene.
By the way, the person who wrote this, their screen name is LB Worshipper. So, Pound Worshipper? I don't know. Chubby Chaser. Now, I...
Maybe. Or a very big fan of Lorraine Bracco.
This is much longer than a normal review, but I came across this one and I felt like it needs to be read.
Just read it.
Okay. Do you want the Mortal Kombat music under you while you read it?
Maybe it's distracting, but let's
maybe we don't have to, all right, because it is very intense.
Okay, here we go. This was written on December 26th, 2011. So it was
right
the day after Christmas.
Right after.
From Caracas, Venezuela. Now, I'll be reading it the way it was written. You'll understand why in just a moment. I was a fan of the first Mortal Kombat when it came out, and I remember playing it in my 386. When the movie was announced, I almost got an orgasm. And when it came out again in VHS DVD was years from being commercial. I don't know what that means. I see the movie once and another and another time. In fact,
this is really bumming me out.
In fact, making an interstate trip on a bus, I convinced the girl that works on the bus attending passengers of put the movie on during travel. Yep, I carry the tape with me. So he brought a VHS on a bus.
Hope this is very dark.
Okay. One day, the tape broke up.
This is a suicide note. I'm going to be really upset.
One day, the tape broke up. Yep. I see movie more than 100 times and the tape got overused and broke. I cry a lot that day.
What?
And even I have the broken tape with me. When movie came out on DVD, I was uber happy and bought it until I was robbed. They break on my house and take my DVD player with disc inside. Of course, I bought it again. And even today, when his FX are really lame compared with actual, I still enjoy a lot of this movie. The end was great too. Oh. And when I see it, I was stunned looking that there will be a second part. But as this time, you must know it was but ... Stay away from that. Unless you are a collectionist of MK stuffs, buy it, but don't watch it because then you will not get desires, but you must punch somebody. Don't know what that means.
Wow.
I think he's basically saying the second movie is not very good. I was happy when I bought
There's a sequel to this?
Yes, called Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which is what we were going to do, but I was heard that we couldn't do that until we saw this one. I was happy when I bought
Remember at the end when they're like,
Well, I figured, but I didn't know. I knew that's what it was setting
it
up,
felt
but I couldn't
like
imagine
that,
it was made.
It felt like it could have fallen through the cracks.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be like, well.
Yeah.
It came out many years later. All right, so here's the end of it. Here it goes. I was happy when I bought the DVD and I see it has Spanish subtitles because, as you must know now from reading my review, my English stinks, but not so much as MK2. Slam on MK2.
Amazing.
So I only buy DVDs that have Spanish subtitles and is like some divinity don't want me to throw my money away. The MK2 movie has not subtitles and I can't really remember what to do with my VHS tape. I really want to believe that I threw that one out the window. Five stars. Wow. I don't. This is one of the craziest reviews.
It's pretty intense.
It's intense, and you.
Where is he going? I want to know where he's going on that bus.
He's on an interstate trip with a VHS copy. Convinces someone to get it.
Friends.
Finds out it's going to be on DVD. This after he finds out the movie's coming out, he's going to have an orgasm. Then he gets the DVD. His house is robbed. The DVD is stolen.
A harrowing tale.
And then he finds out about the sequel. He kind of slams the sequel, and then he just wants to let you know that this is a good DVD because it does have Spanish subtitles.
And please don't forget that he watched that tape so much that it broke.
He broke.
Over
100 times.
Think of anything. I've not watched anything enough that a tape would have broken.
I remember getting worried that my VHS tape of Anne of Green Gables was going to go.
Yeah.
Like that it was actually...
Because was that something also that you like taped off of television?
No, that was given to me.
It was for sale. Yes. Okay. Because I remember thinking that about things that I had like taped off of television, but you couldn't get.
Right.
Like, I used to tape Saturday Night Live, and I would be afraid that something would happen.
I used to fix tapes, open up the top, and you put the thing in. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Guys, this is the classic time. Anything that we missed, anything that we want to talk about, anything, I feel like we covered a lot of it. The one thing I feel like I would be remiss if we didn't talk about is that one scene in the beginning when Liu Kang decides to go fight in the tournament. Monks murmur. He's like, I'm going to fight that tournament. And the monk's like, ooh, I will. Like I think, like monks should not be gossiping amongst each other. That seemed like an odd thing for monks to do, to kind of have a little coffee clutch.
This movie was so bad.
I think that my favorite part of this movie is that whatever that guy's name is, Liu Kang, is fighting the big bad guy.
Yeah,
and the big bad guy turns around about 2 feet from him, and then turns back around, and he's his brother.
Oh yeah.
And if you watch this movie for any reason, fast forward to that part just so that you can see Liu Kang go, wait a minute, I don't think you're my brother. He just saw him transform.
Yes.
And still in his mind.
He watched him transform.
Yes. In his mind, there's a chance that is really his brother. And the brother tries to prove it by saying a line that will live with me for the rest of my life, which is, remember when our parents died? Yeah. If the movie had ended on that, I would have been a 5-star review myself.
You would have written it on Christmas Day.
I would have written it on Christmas
Day. Oh, my God. That was a great little reveal, too. Oh, man, the brother, the dead brother. None of it pays off.
None of
it. Would you guys recommend? Well, now, here's the thing. No. This movie's on iTunes, and you can't even rent it.
No.
iTunes, you could easily.
I paid $15
I paid $9 on iTunes for it.
How did you pay $9?
It was only $9 on iTunes.
I think it was. I think I paid 15 on iTunes.
You didn't get. You got high definition.
Oh yeah.
So I bet it looked better.
It looked amazing. If amazing looks like garbage.
So would you guys recommend watching this movie?
Never once ever in your life.
No.
I think you could fast forward and find some fun stuff.
I think if you can just find that scene of the brother. That's going to stick with you.
And also that flannel guy. I'm actually interested in going back
this
to see.
Christopher Lambert, I think his...
Movie is bad because there's no movement in this movie. The fights are lateral and boring.
I don't necessarily believe in piracy, but somebody should pirate that section and put it on the internet, and then all of our problems.
Well, it's also like, you know, I mean, this is brings a whole thing. It's like, making a movie out of a video game, they're separate things. Like, I think you can make a video game out of a good movie, but like also trying to do something cool. Like when Liu Kang's move in the video game is like he flies forward and his legs are kicking really fast. But in this movie, when he's flying forward, he's like almost he's sitting and his legs are just moving like really quick. It's not impressive. It's almost anything but. It seems like almost like a sketch. Like you would see it on a Saturday Night Live.
I feel like if you're going to watch this at this point, watch the Raid Redemption. Watch really good martial arts fighting. Combat movie that would be like, or any of like the Tony Jaa movies or something.
I'd recommend Haywire.
Watch Haywire.
Sonya
great.
In this movie, why don't you go watch a real MMA lady take some people down to size?
Great, I love it.
Does she have a sense of humor?
She's a terrible actor, but hey, what the heck? She was on American Gladiators, the reboot.
Well, this is been so much fun. Cameron, what do you have that you would want to plug and tell us about?
So I have two podcasts of my own. And if folks like this, I also do an action and sci-fi movie podcast.
What? I didn't know about this.
It's called Wham Bam Pow. And that's why I said this is in my wheelhouse. I fucking love this shit. So you can, I do that with Ricky Carmona and Rhea Butcher, who also they're both amazing comics.
Amazing.
And then Rhea and I also run a show at the UCB on Tuesday nights.
Very good show.
That is called Put Your Hands Together. And we put that out as a podcast as well. And that is a stand-up podcast. In fact, it is like the first of its kind.
It's really awesome.
Amazing.
In your house, at home. Okay, the end.
What else we got, guys? Anything? Jason, you still in The Dictator?
I'm just getting word now that I'm still in it.
Oh, good. That is
that's great, though.
My voice has now been dubbed.
But your body is still in it.
My body is still in it, but I've been told that my voice has been entirely dubbed.
All right, that's okay.
A dog's bark.
Oh, wow.
So my character has now been reduced to being an animal in the movie, apparently. But I haven't watched it, so
it's an interesting performance. Yeah. My comic book, Alien vs. Parker, is coming out on February 4th. The trade paperback. Read them all in one sitting. June, what the fuck do you want to talk about?
Oh, shit. June, did you want to yawn on mic?
Don't you have a DVD coming out?
Oh, yeah. Ask Backwards is out on DVD January 28th. And available on iTunes.
There you go.
Well, I'll also say go see Ride Along.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Why not?
Jason Mantzoukas, writer of Ride Along, a huge, huge hit.
Yeah, it is.
Giant hit.
Fantastic.
Giant hit.
Now,
weird.
Are you going to be riding around like in a helicopter fueled by champagne at this point?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you think I got here? It is not a good technology.
Is that actually true?
Yes.
I did write a version of
it. You wrote the first version, right?
I wrote the middle version.
I flipped out because I walked by one of those big bus ads and I saw your name on the thing. I was like, wait, what? And I texted you immediately and did not hear you talk about it. We were vacationed together.
Sure,
and true. Didn't even hear you mention it.
Nope.
You are a mystery.
Yeah, guys.
All right.
But check it out on my Twitter.
No, you do not have a Twitter.
I still don't have Twitter.
But How Did This Get Made has a Twitter. You can follow us at HDD, whatever, you know, the initials of the fucking show. I'm on Twitter at Paul Scheer.
At Miss June Diane.
Yeah, and I'm at Cameron Esposito.
Great. Not on Twitter.
All right, that wraps up the show. And a big thanks to everyone that helps us out here at Earwolf. Brett, our engineer, our amazing people online. Avril Haley, who pulls all of our clips. She's amazing. Nate Kiley does a lot of the research, getting in deep on the Wikipedia pages. Leanna Waldron designing cool shit that goes on our Facebook pages every single fucking day. And Katie Dyer, who runs our official How Did This Get Made Twitter. That's right. We have a How Did This Get Made Twitter. You know that? It's at HDTGM. HDTGM. Did I say that right? I think I did. All right. So that's all I'm going to say for the end of the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, here at Earwolf. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Home isn't just a place, it's a state of mind. Like curling up in a comfy chair as you watch the world go by.
Good afternoon.
Which is why at Delta, our people do our best to make you feel at home long before you get there. Delta, keep climbing.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.